Today we're starting a new series called Christmas Vibes. Okay? If you are a young person, you probably use that word. The other day I was on Facebook and somebody said, I'm sending my vibes, good vibes towards you. Somebody said, I'm struggling. Somebody says, I'm sending you good vibes. Meaning, we used to say sending prayers, right? Well, now it's sending vibes. So, the topic of my message today is going to be called Word Vibes. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, and let's read it together. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, in this series, we're going to talk about how to create good vibes in your life this Christmas. How to create an atmosphere. If you've been in church for a while, that's the word we use. But I guess young people don't use that word a lot. So let's just say that's the same word, same meaning. Okay? We want to create good vibes in our life. I want to be a person, when people come in my life in contact with me, they feel good vibes, good atmosphere around me. How many of you know if you come to a negative person, you feel negative vibes? If you come to a person who talks negatively, you want to get away from them as fast as possible. Some people have such negative vibes, you feel like you're choking for air. What do you call smothered? They smother you with their negative vibes so much you can't breathe. Maybe you're in a marriage like that. God doesn't want you to live in that kind of atmosphere. God doesn't want you to live in an atmosphere where you feel like you can't breathe. Negative vibes. And so today we're going to talk about our words and how words have miraculous power in our life. Now, for those of you who want a scientific explanation, dictionary explanation of what vibes means, a person's emotional state or the atmosphere of a place felt by others. That's what vibes are. Person's emotional state or the atmosphere in a place felt by others. Moody people give off bad vibes. Amen. Now, in Proverbs, if we could put that back up, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, I want you to remember this verse. You know that kids in kids' church study Bible verses? So if you ask them, what did you learn today? What's the verse? They should be able to tell you the verse. I'm going to give kids an assignment to ask you, what did you learn today? And see if you can do this. But the tongue has the power of life and death. How many of you ever heard this? Sticks and stones may break my bones. Finish the sentence. But words will never hurt me. That's the biggest lie in the world. Words can bring life or they can bring death. The sum total. Listen to this, you are the sum total of the words spoken over you. You are the sum total of the words spoken over you. So if somebody has been speaking negative words over you, you can't make it, you'll never succeed, you're dumb, you're stupid, that's probably how you feel. I was so blessed to have... Actually, in my childhood, I had both words spoken over me. I had positive and negative. I was somehow able to throw out the negatives. And there's few people in my life that I'm so blessed that they spoke positive God's words over me. In 2002, summer 2002, I came to this building that we now own for the first time. I was nervous. I hate going to church for the first time. That's like, I'm so weird socially, antisocial maybe a little bit. And so coming to church for the first time freaks me out. Any church. We go to Tampa on vacation. We visit a new church. I'm just like, what's going to happen? Maybe I should run away. And after one time being there, I'm like, oh, okay, this is my church. I know this church. I know the pastor. But I was sitting where you are sitting, Tina, about right there. Maybe where Ryan and Jerry, you guys are sitting. And this woman, first of all, I've never seen a woman preacher, because in our denomination that I grew up is and was very conservative, and women were not allowed to preach. Okay, and so we're not like that, okay? We have a pastor who's a woman here. So, but this pastor woman, she was black, and she was dressed really nice, and she was very charismatic, and they sang for like an hour, and after an hour, she started talking, and I'm like, where's the message? Is this pre-message? And then she turns to me, and she said, God called you to be a pastor. And you're going to do this and this, and God wants you to open a church, and because God is going to use you to preach. And I'm sitting there, no, I don't think so. I wasn't even thinking like that. Imagine you want to be a firefighter. Somebody comes to you and says, you're going to be a fisherman. It's like, no, I'm not. No, I hate water. I hate boats. I get sick on boats, right? So somebody says, you're going to be a preacher. And I'm like, no. And I grew up in a denomination where preaching wasn't really fun. You like tolerated it because your mom dragged you there. Not like our church. People tell me we have fun preaching. You can't fall asleep. So I hope you don't fall asleep today. But this woman spoke these words over my life. And today we're here today. And we have today we're in this building because of her words. Amen. Later on, God spoke to me and I caught those words that he said, this building will not be able to hold one service. When we had 30 people, the church was almost falling apart. Imagine God says, you'll be able to have 3 to 5 services on a weekend. And the church is falling apart. 30 people with all these chairs. But today, you are here in the second service. Because of the words that God spoke over our lives. Amen. I remember being 11 years old and my living in Ukraine. We were so poor. And my dad took me to this church service with his friend about 30 kilometers from the city where we lived. I've never been in that town before or since. We go to this small, tiny house and there's this old lady, bad teeth. And she has church in her house. So we visit her house church for about 2 hours. And so we're praying. And she's like, you know, these women in these small towns, they are prayer women. They're prayer women. They pray. They're like, let's pray. Before we eat, let's pray. So we all kneel, because in Ukraine, everybody kneels to pray. So we all kneel, dirt floor. And we start praying. And she, after the prayer, she turns to me and she speaks words over my life. 11 years old, she said, you're going to be a preacher. You're going to preach on a big stage to thousands of people. And she says, you're going to be, I see you wearing a white suit with a Bible in your hand. Still waiting for the white suit. Got the Bible already. Amen? And so those words, and imagine this, I forgot about those words for about 15 years, 14 years. I forgot about those words that she's spoken. Later on, my mom and dad, they were not able to. We had 7 boys in our family. And did you see Eli? He was the one who played guitar. Is he here, right there? Okay, I can't talk bad about him now. He's in this service. He's my bro. He's the youngest, and 7 of us. And we're kind of big, you know. We're not skinny. We're husky. All of us, pretty much. And so mom couldn't afford to feed us. So in the summertime, she would send some to grandma, some to one aunt, her sister, some to another aunt, dad's sister, or brother. And she would send us. So for summer, my mom would send me to my uncle's house. He lived on a farm about 50 to 70 kilometers maybe away from our city. And I would spend summer there. And my uncle was a businessman. And so he would tell me, why work for somebody else when you can work for yourself? And so he kept telling me those words. Later on, my uncle moved to the United States. Half a year later, we moved to the United States. Does this story bore you or no? No. We moved to the United States. We came here in October 2nd. 1990, he was already here, and he started a business in half a year. He was a bricklayer. He started his own business laying brick, and he said, "Why work for another man when you can make work for yourself?" And he would work from morning till dark. That's all I remember about my uncle. He still does. Uncle Paul, I love you. But Uncle Paul had a big impact in my life because he said to me, he said, "In America, this is the land of opportunity." He said, "It's going to snow pretty soon." He said, "I want you to take a shovel," and he gives me a shovel, a used shovel. And he says, "When it snows," and I speak no English, 12 years old, he hands me a shovel and says, "All you have to do is say, 'Can I clean your snow?' Knock on somebody's door and ask them, 'Can I clean your snow?'" I said, "Really? That's all?" He's like, "You could be a businessman." 12 years old, businessman. And I was crazy enough to believe him. Maybe I am that way. Crazy enough to believe this black woman who prophesied in my life. Crazy enough to believe my uncle. He was white. I love my pastor, Pastor Judy, obviously. And next time it snowed, they closed schools. I didn't know they closed schools when it snowed. So I took the shovel and ran and started knocking on doors in my neighborhood. And they would say, "How much?" I'm like, "What? I can't even count past 10. I'm serious. I can't count like 17, 20. I'm just 1, 2, 3 maybe." I said, "Whatever, I'll just clean, you know." I don't know how I communicated with them. So they say, "Go ahead." Maybe they said, "Go away," but I started cleaning their snow. I started cleaning their snow anyway. And before you know it, a lady would give me $5. Somebody would give me $7. It wasn't a lot. And I would do, some say, just a walkway. So I'm like, okay, $3, you know. And after a while, I remember that first day, I was so excited. I don't know. I think I maybe made 20-some dollars. And we had this store, kind of like Walmart. So I got this cash in my hand, you know, a pile of cash. And I said, "Dad, take me to the store." So we go to the store, and I buy myself a watch. I think it was a Casio with a calculator on it. How many of you remember those? If you're old enough, you remember. Now it's on your iPhone. But that was the latest, the best watch. And oh, that was so awesome. And from there, the words that my uncle spoke over me and to me, I was able to, amen, the words people speak over us. I remember there was a prophet who came here and he said, "Someday God is going to give you millionaires. And they're not going to be millionaires who are coming from outside, you know, who are already millionaires." You know, every pastor wants millionaires in their church because we can do more things, right? And he's like, "They're not coming from the outside. Don't wait for that. God is going to raise them up from the inside." And I'm like, "Can I be one too? Prophesy. Why can't I be?" See, there's words. Every Sunday, there's words are being spoken in this atmosphere. And words are not just empty things, especially when they are inspired by God. Especially when they are preached from here. When I get down, they don't mean as much. When I get up, they mean a little more. Because God gets involved. When His people get together, His Holy Spirit is using me like a pipe to pour out His blessing, His anointing, His oil, like in the book of Zechariah, to the hearts of the people. So what are you? Do you come here just to make your mom happy or your girlfriend happy or your wife happy? Or do you come here to catch a word? Say it. "I need a word. God, I need a word from you today. I don't want to hear him. I want to hear you." Say it. "I don't want to hear him. I want to hear you." Because you want to hear from him. My words are nothing. His words are powerful over your life. So I'm thankful for people. You are the sum total of the words spoken over you. Maybe somebody in school said, I can't believe how stupid you are. Those words are probably haunting you today. Or maybe somebody came to you and said, you are so smart. You're going to be somebody. God's hand is over your life. I remember at about 14 years old, my pastor said, I'm watching you. God's hand is over your life. I'm like, really? Good. And I've always felt the favor of God. Do you feel the favor of God over your life, or do you feel a curse over your life? What do you feel? What do you feel? What do you feel? I feel the favor. And you should too. You should feel the favor of God and rebuke the curse. In Jesus Christ, listen to me, we're no longer under the curse of the law. Amen. We're under the power of grace. Woo! Yeah, the grace of God is over you right now. Do you feel it? Do you feel the grace of God? It's moving in you. It's moving through your spirit, in over your body. Some of your hair is going up because it's the grace of God in your life. I always felt favor. Grace is favor of God in your life, in our lives. How do you look at yourself? Cursed or favored? Tell your neighbor, I'm favored by God. I'm graced by God. I'm not cursed. Why is all these bad things happening to me all the time? I'm cursed. What you say, that's what you'll have. Faith speaks blessings. Fear speaks curses. I can know what's in your heart based on what you say. Some person you meet, how you doing? Blessed. Some person, well, you're like, whoa, what'd you drink this morning? Another person you meet, and they are like, I'm tired, depressed. What you say is what you'll have. Because, let's put that scripture, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. That's why I said, you are the sum total of the words spoken over you and the words that you speak over yourself. This is God. Listen to me. This is not positive preaching. This is the Word of God. Proverbs 18:21. I didn't make this up. This is what God is saying to His children this morning, to you and me. Your words have power to create an atmosphere or vibes around you. I'll prove it to you. Can we do an experiment here? Can we do an experiment? Look at your neighbor in front, in the back, maybe side to side. Look at your neighbor. No, look him in the eye. Yeah, look at your neighbor. Yeah, look at your neighbor. Come on, everybody, kids too, young people too. Look at your neighbor. And I want you to tell him something. Choose a neighbor and tell him this. You are super hot. Some of you are like, yeah, I. Notice the atmosphere just changed. The vibes around you just changed. Now, some of you ladies are like, I think he thinks I'm hot for real. Do they really think I'm hot? Notice the atmosphere just changed by the words you spoke. Some of you might have a date after this. That will change your life forever. Thank you, Pastor Alex. But you have, your words have the power to create atmosphere of life or death around you. I want to break up this verse into three. And I made them into 3 points. So point number one, if you're writing this down, and you should bring notebook or at least on the back of your bulletin, write this down. Our words carry supernatural power. Our words carrying power. Say to your neighbor, I got the power. I got the power. Can we play that? Put it up. I got the power. Come on, everybody. Sing it. Yeah, play it, play it. That's good. I love it. Okay, that's good, guys. Thank you. I got the power, baby. Our words carry supernatural power. I love that picture Doc chose. Awesome, man. I got the power. Why are your words so powerful? Well, let me ask you, what are words made of? What is a word? What is a word? Okay, hold on. You've been in the first service. Thank you. Ruining this. A word is a thought plus sound equals word. Thought plus a sound. A thought by itself is half of it yet. But a thought plus a sound equals a word. A word is a real thing. A thought is still in a baking process. But a word is a real thing, and that's why it has power. Why does word have so much power? Because you are made in the image of God. Guys, you are made in the image of God. And let me ask you a question. How did God create this world? Did he clap his hands and monkey came into being? No, God had a thought. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then God said. Notice that Word, it was in him, meaning it was the thought. Did you know that we are all God's thoughts? You're not an accident. You are God's thought plus God's sound equals you. You see what I mean? God didn't clap his hands to make giraffe or hippopotamus or pig. Bacon, right? He spoke it. God didn't do a little dance. He didn't do hokey pokey, turned himself around. He spoke and the mountains were created. He spoke and plantation was created. Animals, fish, birds. He spoke into existence. Amen. Now, we have the visible image of God. Because God is invisible. But what is the visible image of God? Question to you. Who is the visible image of God? Jesus Christ. God is invisible. Nobody has ever seen God. But he revealed himself through physical form in Jesus Christ. Okay, how did Jesus do miracles? Did he slap people in the back of the head and say, be healed? Did he punch him in a tooth and open his eyes? Did he give him a little LSD, a little bit of weed, reefer, you know, and they had an experiment, medical marijuana? You don't think it's funny? I thought it was funny. Okay, never mind. Too close to home, yeah. Lots of you are medically. Hi. How did Jesus create miracles? Mostly by his word. He was on a boat, and the boat is collapsing. The waves are hitting the boat. They're out of control. Their sail is broken. And disciples are screaming to him, Master, why are you sleeping? We're dying. So they wake him up, and he looks at the storm and says, peace, be still. Three words. And guess what? Wind, rain, storm, waves, stop, and it's peace. Now, some of you are like, why can't I do that? Well, because you're not God. You're the mini form of a God. You know, sometimes we parents can do so much more than our three-year-olds. Now, not sometimes. We as adults can do so much more. Not unless they're teenagers. Then they know everything. I had to throw you guys under the bus a little bit. I love you, though. Oh. My little daughter has been begging me, Dad, when can I preach with you? Dad, when can I preach? She's four. And yesterday we were here. How do you like our new stage prop? Yeah. thank you for our decorating team. Some of them were in the first service, some in the second service, but they put this together. But those light bulbs were too bright, so we had to put a dimmer on it. So I had to come in late last night and put a dimmer. She grabbed a mic, and just me, Junior, and her. And while I'm rolling around on the ground trying to find a plug under that wall up there, putting my hand in there, she started preaching. Preaching, and so I recorded her. Some of you seen that video. But anyway, after we were driving home, she's like, "Dad, that's nothing. I could preach now for you, you know?" Sometimes, right? And that's how sometimes we see Jesus is the perfection, and we're like, "Why can I speak and storm be still?" Because you got to grow, son. Child, you got to grow. Right? So there's some things you can't do because you're still, plus Jesus is perfect, so nature obeys him perfectly, and you are a sinner, so sometimes you have to speak it more than once. For example, I want to give you an example. When you eat certain foods, certain fatty foods, they don't make you fat right away. Right? But after you eat them for a while, what happens? They, whatever you eat, you see eventually in the mirror. Not right away, though. And that's why exercising is so hard, because if only I could see how I'm changing. If only I could see it. But you don't see it right away. So, like in the book of Emoth, it talks about fat me and skinny me, you know. Skinny me wakes up, says, "I'm going to run 5 miles today, blah, blah, blah." Next day, fat me wakes up in me and says, "No, today we're going to eat donuts and chill. Netflix and chill." What? I'm good, okay. Is it something I said? Okay, good. So Jesus spoke and created with his words. He says, "Be still to the storm." One day he came to a tomb of a friend named Lazarus. And how did he raise Lazarus from the dead? Did he have to use his hands? No. He said, "Lazarus," he yelled to the tomb, "come forth." Just words. And guess what happened? A mommy gets up, wrapped around. Lazarus was wrapped around, embalmed a little bit. He walks up. He gets out of the tomb, and it's like, oh, just words. Now, some of you are skeptical. Some of you are naturally, you're spring-wired to be skeptical. And that's okay. That's okay. God is still working on you. But there was a centurion, Roman centurion. He had a sick servant. His favorite servant was sick. So this Roman centurion hears about this magical man. Medicine man, miracle man named Jesus. Now this man is a centurion, meaning he has 100 soldiers under his command. He's a Roman. He's a man of science and knowledge and testing and trial and studies and conclusions. That's the kind of man he is. So he comes to this miracle man, and if I think what he thought, for example, like if he was like me, I wouldn't automatically believe somebody who does miracles. Would you? Like if somebody said, "There's a miracle man in our town," you know, I would be skeptical. The first thing I would do, and I think that's what this centurion did, he went and watched. He sat in the back somewhere. New people, they come in the back, sit in the back, they do watch you first. They watch you. Are you a real deal or are you fake? You know? And so they're like, okay, is he a magician? Is he a trickster? Is there, did he talk to the man before the blind man came and got healed? Was he really blind or was he not blind? Right? He would test. Wouldn't you do the same thing? I would. I wouldn't just blindly believe something, especially miracles. What's that? Some people are like, "God, show me a miracle, I'll believe." And most time people don't believe when they see a miracle. So the centurion is watching Jesus. And after watching him for a while, he finally gets the nerve. He comes up. Now the Bible doesn't explain all those details, but I have the Spirit of God in me. So do you. And you know it's true. Some things you just know. So after watching Jesus, maybe a couple of hours, doing miracles, healing people, talking to people, you know, he gets the guts, he comes up to Jesus, says, "Jesus, I have a servant who's sick. And you know what Jesus says? Fine, I'll go and heal him. And he says, no, Jesus, it's far away. He says this, I've been watching you. You don't need to come to my house. Just speak. Come on, somebody, the word. And my servant will be healed. Where did this Roman centurion get the idea that Jesus can just speak a word and his Roman? Because he's been studying him. He's been watching him. Maybe for a day, but maybe multiple days. He's been watching Jesus and he realized that Jesus did most of his miracles by speaking. And so Jesus says, fine, be healed. Man goes home. On the way home, halfway, his servants, other servants meet him and says, he's healed. He said, what time? He said, this time. And he's like, oh, that's the time Jesus spoke the word. Amen. Notice, the word doesn't even need like physical touch. He didn't have to go the distance to his house. He sent his word and healed them. That's where prayer has power. The prayer of faith. You don't always need to go like to some, if you have a family member far away, you can pray your word. You can speak healing over somebody. Amen? And so that's what Jesus did. And you are made in the image of God. And the devil told us the words don't mean anything. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but the words will never hurt me. Oh yes, they will. What your mom said about you still haunts you. What your dad said about you still haunts you. What your spouse said about you still haunts you. Did you know that it takes, scientists tell us it takes 20 positive words for every to cancel out each negative word you say? And from the same person? So if a person said, like a parent said to their child, a negative word, they have to say about 20 positive to make it at least balance out. 20 words. And some of you guys, you said something to your wife and 3 days later she's still hurt and you're like, why are you still hurt? Get over it, woman. Well, because the words hurt and you needed to say about 20 positive words. See, words bring healing. And buddy, you're in word number 3 so far. You just said 3 good ones and you're expecting her to be okay. Or guys, this could happen the other way too. The women say bad things to men as well. And they could be very hurtful, very mean. God created the world by the words. And you are made in His image. Can I make a suggestion? The environment you live in was created by the word of God. Okay, look outside. For example, grass, birds, trees, rivers. Especially if you go into the mountains or on a beach somewhere. Isn't it beautiful what God created? Okay, it's amazing. But that's God's environment. That's God's handiwork. But let me make a suggestion, this. That environment in your home, you're created in the image of God, was also created. God's environment outside, it was created by the word of God. Your home environment was created by the words you speak. So if I were to ask you if the vibes of your home are positive or negative, what would you say? Don't answer it. If you tell me that your home is a negative environment, negative vibes, you don't want to be there. I can almost guarantee that a lot of negative words are being spoken in your home. I've talked to married couples and she said to me, I just can't be there. He speaks negativity. It's like choking my air, like I have no air to breathe. Have anybody ever told you, I can't breathe around you? I just can't breathe around you. You just choke me. You choke the life out of me. In a book, we sell it actually in the lobby. It's called Love and Respect. He talks about air hose. Spouses have an ability to, those of you who've been through our premarital class, they have an ability to choke off your air. You can't breathe. And when we can't breathe, we want to, imagine if you couldn't breathe right now. What would happen? You would run somewhere to get some air. You would get away from this place as far as possible just to get a breath of air. Sometimes you wonder why spouses do some radical things in their marriages. She left everything. He left everything. She couldn't breathe. He couldn't breathe. Words you speak. This is serious stuff. I know some of you are like, I've heard messages on words you speak. Tell me how blessed I am and I don't have to do anything. No, faith works. Faith without works is dead. So here it is. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free if you practice that truth. So today the truth of God is being spoken because He loves you. He doesn't do it so to tickle your ears so you feel like, oh, it was a great message. No, He wants to build something in you. He wants to change your spiritual DNA. And if your spiritual DNA is changed, it affects your physical DNA as well. And so your Bible says a righteous man has a different smile from the evil one. A wise man has a different face features than the evil one or a fool. So what happens on the inside in your DNA today will eventually come outside. You can tell a Christian from far away. A true Christian, right? You can tell, oh, that's a Christian. You can tell a religious Christian even further. You're like, oh, that's a religious one. Yeah, I know him. Her. Your words can create a beautiful environment in your home or pollute the environment in your home. I know that in our home we have a good environment because of the words we speak. Because people, when they come and visit us, sometimes they say, well, we just want to stay for 3 days or 2 days. And they ended up staying for, what, weeks sometimes? And you're like, come on, when are you going to leave? But they're like, it's so peaceful in your home. We love being here. Your home has to be that place of rest, refuge, that place of comfort and peace. You shouldn't be walking on eggshells in your home. If you have an atmosphere of eggshells, there's something wrong. You got to fix it. You got to talk about it. You got to communicate with your spouse, because God doesn't want you to walk on eggshells, on pins and needles in your home. God wants you to be free. Listen to me. Amen. Your words can create beautiful environment or pollute the environment. Your words are polluting your marriage, or they're making your marriage blossom. If your spouse says, you are beautiful, you're such a blessing to me, what does it do? It makes you blossom. If your spouse says, you're hot, you're super hot. That, what does that make you be? Like, oh, I know ladies love this. They just blossom, right? Amen. And then there's some other people, when they're around you, you're just like, oh, how can I get away? How can I cut this meeting short and leave? Did you know that to be a believer, listen to this, write this down. To be a believer, how do you know you're a believer? To be a believer in Jesus Christ, to be saved, requires words. Guys, did you know that to be saved, requires you to speak words? Paul writes to Romans, he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Notice, it's not a feeling that you have. You have to speak. What is confession? It's not like, yeah, God, I have sinned and forgive me. No, confession is a declaration. It also is a declaration. So you say this, God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for my sins and He rose again. That's a confession. I just confessed something. I declared something. So if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Notice, what is a word? A thought plus sound. So confession is a sound. A thought is believing in your heart. Here's some spirit science for you. So if you believe in your heart, you have to believe it. Come to a woman and say, I love you. You're hot. She'd be like, you don't believe that. But you say, honey, I love you. Notice a thought, a feeling, and you, if you put feelings to it too. So thought plus feeling plus a sound. But I could feel good about her, but not say anything. And she'll be like, how come you never tell me you love me? I had to ask her, I ask her all the time, do you really need flowers? Like, yeah, is it a real need? Like, because I don't understand it. Like, do you really need flowers, baby? She's like, yes, I need flowers, fool. but words. Did you know that to be a believer, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved? That's why after every service, we give people an opportunity to confess Jesus is Lord. That's why we say, raise your hand on a count of three. Those of you who raise your hands, then we make a declaration. We don't just leave you. Oh, raise your hand. Okay, now you're saved. No, make a confession. And the world says, keep your faith private. But Christianity was never meant to be kept private. You are to share your faith. You are to confess Jesus in front of man. Jesus says, if you deny me in front of man, I'll deny you in front of the Father. If you confess me, I will confess you. I will declare you. Yes, that's my boy right there. That's my girl right there. That's what Jesus says about us. Are you guys enjoying this message? All right, let me give you two illustrations and we're going to pray. I know illustrations should come in front, but we're going to do two illustrations, visual illustration. Some people view words like ping pong balls. Okay, ping pong balls are nice and soft, right? They don't really hurt. All right, Abby, can I throw one at you? Did that hurt? No? Okay, good. Didn't even hurt. All right, good catch, man. Hey, all right. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Oh, did it hurt? Kyle? All right. Moss? Now, you can throw them back at me, too. You can throw them back at me. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Oh, yeah. How you like me now? How you like me now? Oh, whoa. Whoa. All right. Now, some people say, whoa. All right. Fine. Suddenly, kids got involved in the service. Awesome. 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 Now, some people view words as ping pong balls. Meaning, come on, man, grow up. Like, they would say something like this. You just look fat. And you'd be like, what? Can't believe you said it. Oh, come on, man. I was just joking. I'm kidding. Right? So they're saying, you look fat. Oh, sorry. But then they say something like, I'm joking. They would say something. I can't believe you're so stupid. And then they said, but I was just joking, man. Come on. Chill. Can't you take a joke? You're starting a business and they say, your business will never make it. Come on, who do you think you are? Because they think the words are, sorry, I shouldn't be throwing you. You're in the zone right now. In the zone. When I started a business, my friends would tell me that. I was 17 and I'd be like, nothing's going to work. Just get a job, man. Because they think words don't mean anything. You will never achieve anything. You will end up to anything. Yeah, you will never marry a good man, a good woman. You will never do that. You will never have good things. You will never have a house. And you say, why would you say that? There's some people like that. Your church will never grow, Pastor. You just don't have what it takes. Well, it's growing now. Amen. But they think, you know, the words don't mean anything. Because they think words are like these ping pong balls. But in reality, I got another prop for you. Okay. All right. But in reality, words are powerful. And they're heavy. And they're like, in reality, words are like this bowling ball. How many of you, when I said sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? How many of you believe that to be true? Come on, somebody, raise your hand and raise it high. All right, so let me throw this at you, brother, right there. Let me throw this at you. Words are very heavy, and they have power. And I can't hold this for too long because it's so heavy. Words have power. Some of you just got scared. But we're going to cover this floor with another, so don't worry, it's good. In January, it's going to change, but words have power. How many of you ever felt when somebody said something to you, you felt like this, when this ball hit the ground? It hurts. It's a bomb inside of you. And then you start thinking, am I really stupid? Am I really crazy? Remember, it takes 20 positive words from the same person to cover the negative words. That's why a husband can say a bad word to his wife, or a wife can say a bad word to her husband, and next day think, oh, why are you still mad? Because you need 20 words to cover that negative saying for this positive saying. Point number two, the tongue has the power of life. Write this down. Your words can supernaturally heal. Your words can supernaturally heal. There's been people in my life, in your life, who said, you can do it. I believe in you. Hang in there. God is not done with you yet. Many times in like 2009, 10, I wanted to quit this church so bad. I begged God. I said, let me out. Let me just work a job where I can leave it at work and forget it. Because church, it's like, you can't leave it. You know, it always goes with you. All the people, problems, they always go with you. And God says, no, you'll be out of my will if you do. And I was like, I don't want to be out of your will, so I'll just be here. But words can heal. Do you know people in your life who spoke words in you that healed you? I struggled with depression before. Periodically, I still do. And what God has taught me, and this is amazing because it changed my life, is that the words that I speak and the thoughts that I think is what makes me overcome my depression. I'm going to preach a message in 2 weeks called Look at the Swallow. You know Swallow, the bird? I got a revelation from God about that. So just hang in there, okay? You got to be here these for this series, the vibes. But the words, positive words that we speak can heal. Bible says good words are, positive words are healing to your body. So I want a church, I want to create a vibe in our church of positive words. Not just positive words, but the words of God. Like this, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Did you know that God doesn't think negative words about you? Every morning you wake up, God says, come on, get up. I have a great plan for you. You're beautiful. You're amazing. You're strong. Notice in book of Joel, it says this, let the weak say, I am strong. Do you know that God commands to the weak people who feel weak, broken? Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Notice God doesn't think negative thoughts about you. He thinks positive thoughts about you. So why would you think negative thoughts about you? The only person in the universe who thinks negatively about you is the devil. And you don't want nothing that he has to offer. God says, I will make you the head and not the tail. That's what God thinks about you. God sent an angel in my vision, in a dream to me, to tell me that he loves me. How crazy is that? God loves me. And what he gives to the angel of this church, he wants to the angel to give to the people. So God sent an angel to tell me and you that he loves you. Directly from God. Tell those people in your life that God loves. God says this. I will bless those who blesses you. And I will curse those who curse you. You are the apple of his eye. He cares for you much more than he cares for the birds. He cares for you. You are the most treasured, prized possession. He has written you on the palm of his hands. Your name is always before him. He knows you by name. He says, I know what you're going through. I know what you've been through. I'm here to heal you. I'm here to bless you. My grace is over your life. My favor is upon you. I have removed the curse from your life and put my favor upon you because of what Jesus has done. He says, would you follow me? Would you be like me? Would you imitate me? Because I love you. And I believe God wants to create a church, ladies, where you talk positive about one another. In the lobby, you don't look people down. You just say, awesome shoes. Love that t-shirt. Love your hair today, if they're a lady. Your butt looks good. Don't say that. Hallelujah. Your words can heal, but your words can also destroy. And that's point number three. Your words can supernaturally destroy. And we know about those people. I won't have